Standing by. I am control.
Episode 4 of Ion Control, Star Wars LCG podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt, and joining me this week is Dan.
Hello.
Unfortunately, we don't have Jonathan with us. He got called into work because he's got some sick coworkers, so we had to go and fill in some shifts. So it's just the two of us this week. Hey, Dan, how's things going out in your direction?
Pretty good. It's been weirdly warm here, so getting lots of rain and freezing rain, what kind of sucks. But other than that, it's nice to have warm weather. How about you?
It's been okay. We've had strange weather this week. We got like 30 millimeters of rain on Monday or something crazy, and then the next day it dropped to like minus 10, so the ground just froze and there was ice all over the place and stuff. But we got like no snow because the rain washed it all away. And then now they're saying we've got like, well, we had a storm that went by us today. It's going to hit Newfoundland harder, and then we got another storm coming tomorrow, Saturday night, and then we have another storm coming on Monday.
So we're getting
like storm after storm after storm, but nothing's really happened yet, so I don't know what's going on.
Hopefully it's not too bad.
Yeah, well, that's part of the reason why we're recording tonight, is just in case I lose power or internet or something tomorrow night, because we're supposed to get really high winds, so it could cause outages. So we want to get the recording in. Plus, it feels like it's been forever since we recorded.
It's getting close to a month.
I'm pretty sure the last time we recorded it was... when we recorded, it was before the new year. We didn't post it until after the new year.
Yeah, it was before my store championship, and that was on the 3rd of January. Yeah.
So it's definitely been a little bit longer than we thought. The hazards of trying to get three people's schedules all lined up.
Yeah.
The stars align, and the moon's in Aquarius, and if you dance in the circle leftwards, then you may podcast.
And sometimes you can't even get all of us.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that was... an advantage is we have lots of news to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. When we wait a little while, things tend to build up. All right. So first of all, we'll talk about, you know, what we've been up to. Myself, I was trying to think of this earlier, and I'm like, honestly, I don't know what I've done this month. It's been a whirlwind since I went back to work. I've had a chance to do some gaming. I finally got my copy of Between the Shadows. I didn't get mine till last Friday. I got some friends. We were going down to Halifax to pick mine up, so I got the actual box in hand, which was very exciting because this is the, for me, this is a personal highlight just because this is the first Star Wars release where I was a playtester on the product while it was still in development. So I got my name on a Star Wars product, which was actually, I noticed something funny on the insert, a little tangent here. On the insert, it's got the Disney logo, and I've never really noticed the Disney logo on anything yet for the game since the buyout. So I get running upstairs to my wife, and I'm like, look, Terry, look. She's like, what? My name's on an official Disney product.
It's pretty exciting.
She's a huge Disney fan. Like, she loves like all the Disney movies, and all my kids are big Disney fans and stuff too. So, and we're going to Disney World hopefully next year. So I was kind of like, I work for Disney, sort of. Maybe I can get a employee discount when we go down there.
Yeah, they know me.
I'm friends with Mickey, yo.
You'll bring your little insert, your rules insert. My name's right there.
Yeah, my name's right here. Come on.
Beside your logo. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of neat. It's a nice little thing. And it was good to have the actual cards in hand as opposed to my paper proxies that I was using for playtests and stuff. So I finally got a chance to build some decks. I went a little crazy with deck building like I did last year before Storage Championships. I think I'm up to 5 Dark Side decks now that you and I have been discussing basically all week. And
yeah.
I think I've got 3 or 4 light side, I think, so I'm back up to 9 decks, which is a little crazy, but helps you have ideas and stuff. And I played a little bit of Imperial Assault. I started another campaign because I just love the game so much. I'm just having 3 campaigns is so cool. It would be really confusing because, like, if you look at the back of the Imperial Assault book, they just give you this little one-page sheet that you can download on the site, and it doesn't really track a lot of the stuff you need it to. But this guy named Philip, I can't remember his last name right now, sorry, on Team Covenant made his own version of it, and it's 3 pages, and it tracks, like, the decks of cards you use, how much experience the characters have got, how much credits they have, what they've bought, what they've spent their experience on. So it makes it way easier tracking multiple campaigns. So if you haven't already downloaded that and you're planning on running one or more campaigns for Imperial Assault, I highly recommend going to Team Covenant and downloading that and printing off a few copies. It's only 3 pages, so I'm not going to use a lot of paper, but it'll save you a lot of headache down the road trying to remember who did what and who was running who and stuff.
I saw that actually. That looked pretty cool.
Yeah, we had a pretty epic start to it. I can't really give away too much, of course, because spoilers and whatnot, but basically it came down to Vader rolling, and I rolled and did 7 damage to the character that I had to kill because she was the focus of the mission. And there's a white die, and when you roll the white die, if you roll what we call the X-Men symbol, because it looks like the X for X-Men, it cancels all damage. So, of course, what does Ben roll when Vader has to kill this one girl? The X-Men symbol. And then Vader died very promptly right afterwards and ended the game. But it was a pretty epic finish. Like, it was quite a bit of fun there.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
What? I've just been, yeah, same thing, building lots of decks. I managed to get mine on the 9th. I think I went to the store like 5 minutes after they received it because I just kept refreshing their website to see when they're going to put it on their site. And I walked in the store, I didn't really say anything. They just kind of started and got it before I really said what I wanted because I'd gone in so many times that week and bugged them about it because it got a little delayed here in Canada. And so I haven't built quite as many decks as you. I only really have one light side deck. It's just Mono Jedi. And then like 3 dark side decks I've been trying. But trying to decide, I don't know when my next store championship's going to be, but I'm trying to figure out what dark side deck I'm actually going to run. I'm pretty certain on running a very toolboxy Mono Jedi deck, but not sure on dark side yet. And then I've managed to play a little bit too, but that's pretty much all I've done in school. Do you want to get into the news?
Oh, yeah. Just one more thing about what we've been up to.
Oh, yeah.
I've been reading the novel Tarkin. It's one of the new Star Wars books that's actually canon. I don't know if I mentioned it before on the show. I know I've talked about it with other people, so maybe I have. I'm almost done. It is so good. Like, I cannot recommend this book enough. I was also reading, I think it's called Rebel Dawn. It's the first of the new novels, but it's like a prequel to the Rebels cartoon series. And for some reason, I just can't get into enough to finish it, so I keep jumping to other books. But this Tarkin one is just great. And what's really good about it is it's Tarkin and Vader. So you get kind of, you know, two of the big bads, of course, side by side and stuff like that. But it's been really interesting. It's also really interesting because they do a really good job of tying it into events from the Clone Wars cartoon show, which I love. Because there was the episodes where Vader and Tarkin, you know, were, well, not Vader at the time, it was Anakin, of course, but they escaped that prison together and stuff, and that's how they kind of met. And I guess that was part of the Emperor's plan because the Emperor was involved with getting Tarkin as powerful as he became within the government and stuff like that, even before you see anything. So it's kind of interesting seeing these little plot twists.
It's pretty awesome. I actually got all caught up on the Star Wars Rebels show. I've really been enjoying it so far.
Did you get caught up on Star Wars The Clone Wars yet? Because I know we talked about it last night on our Facebook chat.
I watched,
and I mentioned season 6, and you said you hadn't seen it, and I was like literally vibrating, losing my mind because it's so good.
I watched 6 episodes last night. I was up till
excellent,
like 1 o'clock, and I was like, got to school tomorrow. I should probably stop this. But I really liked it so far. Well, I'm pretty sure I'm like halfway done the season now. So
yeah, there's only like 10 episodes, I think, but it's like the last 3 or 4 are like strictly a Yoda storyline, and it's just so much fun and so much good stuff in it.
I'm pretty excited. Probably finish that over this weekend.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to rewatch it. Okay, it's on Netflix, thankfully.
Yeah. How about the news? What do you want to start with? The most exciting news?
Well, the most exciting news is definitely the one that I posted to our Facebook page. Ready for takeoff, first pack of the Rogue Squadron cycle is on the boat and on the way.
Might see it by March. Would be amazing.
That's my guess. I'm guessing it's going to be late February or early March, and more likely probably early March when we see it, just based on shipping times and stuff like that.
Be a good birthday present for me.
A little bit post-birthday for me, but I think most of my birthday stuff is going to be getting the Imperial Assault expansions, because those have been on the boat for a little while, so I'm hoping to see those in February.
Nice.
Yeah, but that's good that they're on the way. The other packs are at the printers, at least the first one. I think the first two shows they're at the printer right now.
Yeah.
The next news is the regional kits were finally announced, which I'd actually been kind of wondering when these were going to show up, because it just, to me, it felt like it was a lot later in the year.
It's actually January 16th last year and January 16th this year.
Really?
Because I was like, I bet they're going to do it on January 16th, because that's when they did it last year. And I think I even said it to my girlfriend,
so much later.
And then they did it that day.
Wow, okay, I had no idea. It must have just felt like that. So you can definitely apply now. Applications are due by February 6th at 11:59 Central Standard Time. They're always very specific with their time, which I like.
Yeah.
I've yet to hear of any stores in my area what they're applying. I'm trying to find out. I know at least one store has applied for Conquest, but I haven't heard about any of the other games yet. It's definitely a good list, though. Like, Conquest is in there now, of course, but they got Store Championship 2. And Imperial Assault is in there now, too, for regionals, so that you can play a regional event for them running Skirmish. We don't have the tournament rules yet, though, so I'll be interested to see what the rules are for that.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff. But the Star Wars LCG kit, I thought this was probably maybe more exciting than last year's regional, or equal to at least.
I like it better, I think.
I think I like it slightly better. I'm trying. What was last year's regional? Was the Jabba stuff?
Jabba, right? Yeah. I like them.
Okay,
then
I definitely like this better.
Yeah, and they improved the affiliation spot loss cards. Now it's the alt art instead of being just like the normal core set card,
right?
But credit card, it's like credit card version. So now you get you don't have to choose between alt art and spot loss. You can have them both if you play Rebel.
Yeah, maybe. that was my biggest complaint last year with the spot loss card, which is in my hand right now, is that it was the same as the normal core set ones, and I don't even use those, to be honest. Like, I have all the alternate art ones. Obviously not the spot glass, but the cardboard versions, and I put the cardboard versions of the regular ones behind it, so they're double-sided and clear sleeves. So I was, I'm having a brain fart. I'm like, oh, well, what phase is next? I can just flip it over, but otherwise I use the alternate art. So I'm glad that this time they went with the alternate art. I love that playmat, that Han Solo art. It's just amazing.
Yeah, basically it's that guy to do all the playmat art. Anytime he makes Tony Fodi, yeah. Anytime he does art.
Tony again?
Yeah, anytime he does art, they're like, playmat! Because he did Mara Jade, too, and a bunch of the other ones.
Yeah, it's like I said before, my biggest complaint with last year was that Jabba art just didn't seem to work with the mat.
No, I like the art on the card. I just don't love the play mat, though.
Yeah, they should have used the art that was on the card. Like, they should have kept it consistent there, too. Like,
yeah.
They should have used the alternate art for that, I think. We got alternate art Akbar, which is
Yeah, the art looked very on that. Cartoony.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's like pointing or, holding his finger like he's shooting a gun or something. Somebody should, alter the art to show him, blowing on his finger like he's blowing his smoke off his gun or something. I was also really excited, though, to see the focus tokens are back.
Yeah, but they're red. They weren't red before, were they?
Yeah, they were.
Oh, they were? Oh, well, that's nice that they'll actually match.
I have them.
Oh, nice.
They came in the very first game night kit or whatever they called it.
Yeah, so they're so hard to get. People sell them for like $50. I always wanted them, but
it doesn't help that Flip the Force has how many sets now?
You think he said it had 197. He said
holy crap.
He's trying to get 200.
Emperor just keeps focusing your Jedi over and over. There's towers of them. It's like Jenga.
I just imagine you must just bring a bucket to each game he plays. It just starts distributing them out.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad to see those. And it goes to the top 16. So, I mean, most people should have a fairly decent shot, except for some of the bigger events, of getting a set of those. I'll be glad to have a second set, because I think I've only got the one.
It only comes
with
10,
a second one.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I got before. So 20, I think, is usually probably plenty for focusing stuff.
Yeah, I didn't even...
Because I tend to only use them for my curves. I don't let other people use them.
I didn't even keep the acrylic damage tokens just because 10 wasn't enough, and I was like, I never used them, so I traded them for other stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, we had enough last year that the top four last year got an extra set. So I have two sets of the damage tokens.
See, I think they did have enough to do that, but he held on to them, and his plan was to give them out as, like, random door prizes, but then there's never any more tournaments, so no more random door prizes.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was quite glad to get two, because one definitely was not enough, but two was a good amount for those. And trophy looks the same as any other one, and then, of course, there's the bye to Nationals, which we don't know anything about.
They changed it this year. Last year, it was a certificate, and you can only use it at a Star Wars Nationals, but now they went back to what they did before, where your buys, if you win a store championship buy, you can use it at any regional. Like, if I win Star Wars, I can use it in Netrunner, apparently.
What?
Apparently, it was like that the first year Star Wars was out, and last year it wasn't like that, and now this year it's back to being like that. Like, I've seen the buy card.
The little card.
Yeah, for the store championship, and you can use it at, it says you can use it at any Fantasy Flight regional. And that doesn't have to be Star Wars.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like, oh.
Not that I would use it for anything else, but that's just...
Yeah, it's. I guess it was like that before, too. If you won a regional for... You know how the regionals, also the regional buys, they worked at Worlds. If you won a regionals for Netrunner, you could use it for Star Wars. What's weird, I think, but...
That is kind of weird.
And then John wanted us to let people know that if you're in the Ottawa or area on February 8th, he's running a store championship at a store called Kessel Run. It's a really awesome store name at 11 o'clock. So, yeah, if you're around there, you should go check that out because he's running it.
I love that store name.
Yeah, it's a great store name. And their logo, too, it's like the Star Wars logo, but it's this Kessel Run instead of Star Wars. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, really? I've never seen it.
I Facebook creeped them because it was such a good store name.
Yeah, I kind of want to go to the store now just to go to that. That would be a great store to have for Nationals for Canada this time around.
Yeah.
Just because of the name.
Yeah, that's true. And it's
not in St. Albert, Alberta, because, you know, who goes to St. Albert, Alberta? Like,
well,
really?
Me, but yeah, no, I understand.
Wait, what? Why did you go to St. Albert, Alberta?
That's where I live. And then the other news was I played in the store championship, and I got second. And it was on January 3rd. Yeah, I didn't win. I was...
You're carrying the hopes and dreams of the show and all of our audience, and you let us down.
Yeah, I think I was 3 points off of tying Scott, and if we tied, we were going to do, like, a top two thing, but didn't do it. My light side deck actually just pooped the bed. I think it won one game, and then it won two games, and I guess my dark side deck won two games as well, so I guess it didn't poop the bed, but... That went two, and they both won two, and I lost two games, so.
What were you running for decks?
Oh, so it was before Between the Shadows, because it was on the 3rd of January, so my light side was, oh, yeah, it was May the 4th, or like, May the 4th with you, Yoda, Core Luke, two Guardians of the Peace, no, one Guardians of the Peace and one Balance of the Force Obi-Wan, and then it was one Falcon, one Freeholders, and two Chewbaccas. And I actually think that Chewbaccas were bad in the deck.
Really?
They
Why?
They didn't do enough. I maybe it's just I didn't really ever see Wookiee Life Jet somehow, even though, you know, you have a pretty good chance of seeing it with two in there. And then actually the next day, I took them out and put in a second Falcon and a second Freeholders, and it was actually like I did way better with it. It was much more consistent with the draws and stuff. But... It wasn't a bad deck. I wasn't overly impressed with the Wookiees that day. You know, that's a deck I've ran before, and I really liked it. And then,
yeah, I'm becoming less enchanted with Wookiee Life Jet because if you don't see it, it just seems like that those Wookiees are so much less effective.
Oh yeah, those four Wookiees other than Chewbacca are pretty not so good without it. And then
even Chewie's not as good without
it. That's true. And my dark side was I pretty much took like the default Sith control list, but I took out Vader and put in Mara Jade for some reason. I actually worked out pretty good. So it was Emperor Palpatine, Mara Jade, and then two slave trade, Tatooine Crash, and I ran one Saris and one Ghost of the Dark Side. And I ran Ghost of the Dark Side because I really wanted four Shockwave, I think it's called. because I thought I'd be playing against a lot of shielding decks, and I did not play against one, so, but it's still a good edge card, and it's a pretty good set, so I like that deck a lot. I just kind of liked running Mara Jade instead of Vader, since she's easy to get out on turn one, and then the shielding is pretty awesome against stuff like Seeds of Decay and any of their little tactics guys.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Mara Jade's set because I hate her objective.
Her objective in the rest of the set is not good. Well, the Protector's good, but yeah, I don't really like Rage. I didn't really need the resource.
Rage I don't mind because I've used Rage to like ready Vader and kill lots of stuff and stuff like that. But
it's very situational.
I don't think I could take Mara over Vader, though.
Ultimately,
Vader's got the Force Choke and his reaction is just way too powerful.
If I did it again, I wouldn't have taken Mara Jade over Vader, but I don't think it was like detrimental or anything. But I definitely think Vader would have been a better pick.
So how did your decks do on the day? Like, how many rounds was the event?
It was only 3 rounds because there was 6 of us only because it was in Calgary, so we drove 3 hours to get there. There's only 2 people who play in Calgary, and they both showed up, luckily. But there was going to be, I think there was originally 6 people that were going to go down, but 2 of them ended up at, like, closer to the thing being like, oh, I can't go. So 4 of us drove down to Calgary, so it was only 6 of us. So we played 3 rounds, and I split my first game and swept my second game and then split my third game. So each of my decks won twice.
Okay.
And my light side deck had one really memorable moment where I was going to lose completely. He had like Vader, Palpatine, Saris, and a bunch of like Galactic Scums on the board. And I flipped the one copy of a false report and I had nothing on the board. My board was empty. And then I won. And it was fantastic. And I screamed so loud when I saw that false report because it was the only thing that stopped me from losing. And he didn't know I was running the Freeholders at that point. So he like blew up the, because I was only running one and I hadn't seen any of the cards yet. So, and he blew it up, not thinking there's any risk to it. And I screamed did a little dance and screamed for joy. And then I was able to win that turn because I was pretty close to winning, but he had just decimated my board the turn, like the turn he blew up that objective. So it was pretty good. It's definitely a highlight. Losing a Scott was a low light, but.
But you guys split games or matches and tournaments fairly often, though, because it was you two at the end of the Canadian Nationals, and I'm sure it's not the first time that's happened either.
No, he's like my nemesis. It's probably you and Scott playing again.
Okay.
And yeah, that's pretty much the only other good thing about it was I went to a really fancy hot dog place and got the most disgustingly delicious hot dog that was like 6 pounds of food.
Fancy hot dog place.
Yeah, I don't like notice.
Only in Calgary.
Yeah, only in Calgary, yeah.
Which I'm obliged to say since I was born in Edmonton, so
yeah.
I'm required to hate Calgary. It's like genetic.
That's fair, yeah. The Calgary store was extremely nice. It's huge. It's like supposed to be the biggest game store in Canada, so.
Was it Century Box?
Yeah.
Yeah, my friend Sean raves about that place because he used to live in Calgary when he was out west. Well, he's still out west, but now he travels, and he's been there a couple times. He's like, this store is just, like, ridiculous. Like, he's like, it's 2 stories. They have every game you can imagine ever made.
In books.
And just walls and walls of them.
Yeah, they could probably host, like, it's a huge store, and then they could probably host, like, 300 people playing games, too. Like, when we were there, there was just, like, dozens of other people, like, other games going on for other, totally other games. It was cool. It's huge because like one of the rooms that they use for game events wasn't even like it was just empty. Like they have so much room.
Yeah, I'd like to go there sometime if I'm ever out that way just to check it out.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. Do you want to get into our? I actually didn't count how many topics it is, but our amount of topics.
Yeah, sure. The first one we want to talk about was our. I think you've got favorite set, but I'm assuming you mean favorite set from Between the Shadows.
Yes.
Light side and dark side.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? What was your favorite light side set? We'll start with that.
Oh, I like a lot of them, but I think I like the new Obi-Wan the best.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a toss-up between him and the new Luke, but the new Luke, I like the new Luke. He's different than the core Luke, which I think is good, because it doesn't feel like, you know, it's... This one's better than this one. It feels like they're fairly equal, so it's like, oh, I could take this one, or I could take this one, and have the same chances, more or less. But I like the new Obi-Wan for some reason. He's got a lot of powerful events in that set, and I mean, I know you gotta kind of hope you get a saber on it, but giving Obi-Wan protect with his interrupt, I really like that too.
Yeah.
Being able to help, you know, control the fairly standard mixed decks that we've been seeing nowadays, and kind of encourages going more mono and stuff like that.
Yeah. I actually went with Luke for, you know, what you said. I think he's just as good as core Luke, and I really like the essentially force choking ability he has. It's been pretty amazing so far.
You mean the throwing his lightsaber thing?
Yeah, when he picks it up. Yeah, yeah. I guess I didn't
think of
that.
Love the theme of that so much. When we were playtesting it, I was just like, "That's so cool." He's throwing away his lightsaber, just like in Return of the Jedi.
I had no idea that's what it was implying. That's so awesome.
Well, that's just my guess that that's what Eric's plan was, but it seems...
I thought he was like force choking people. You know, shouldn't do that.
What was I watching one day? Someone points out some things that Luke does that kind of makes him a lot more like Vader, and he does at one point force choke somebody in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I've seen that.
The Gamorrean guards. You know, you could kind of see him starting to slip for a while there.
Yeah. How about Darkseid? What were you thinking?
Oh,
yeah. It was a lot.
Probably Sheeza or Set, or how do you say it? I say it that way. I've heard it pronounced so many different ways. I love the objective, like just being able to, I'm just going to max out this objective just because I can. And, oh, it goes away next turn. Whatever. And Sheeza himself is really good. And I don't know. I really like that. And I've always been a fan of, to use, you know, the older CCG magic kind of term, tribal decks, you know, like where they have like a very specific theme.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole Black Sun theme is kind of a tribal deck, just like, you know, Ewoks will eventually be a tribal theme, I'm assuming. So I think Masterful Manipulation, but I don't know. I also really like the set that comes with Boosh and Snuva. I think it's the Hunters?
Yeah.
That's their objective? Yeah, I like that one too, because I like the objective itself. I like Boosh, I like Snuva, I like the synergy between the two of them, and all that stuff, so that's a good set too, but...
Oh, yeah.
What's yours?
Well, I just want to say, I think Ewok Tribal is almost there, because I kept trying to play it with the new Ewok cards we get. And
I've read things online. People are definitely trying it. Some people are saying it's there. I've got a deck, and I've done a few test runs with it. I'm not seeing it yet.
I think it's close.
Yeah, it's definitely close.
But yeah, my set, I picked the Hunters, because I think Snuva is just incredible. Even if you're playing as a mono Jedi deck, you capture all their good neutral units. Like, it seems to be, like, L8 side gets a lot of good neutral, like, support units, so he's just good no matter who you're playing against, and then the objective is phenomenal. You know, giving all your scum objectives plus one. I really liked it so far. And Boosh, of course, if you get that extra dial click or two in a game, that's so good, because he's already a really good 2-drop. I think that'd probably be my pick for sure, the Hunters.
Okay. Well, speaking about the Hunters and Snuva and stuff, our next topic we want to discuss was the effect that we think Snuva and Obi-Wan, the new Obi-Wan, will have on deck building. What are your thoughts?
I think Snuva is going to have a bigger effect just because he's easier to get his ability to go up, since it happens when he hits the board. So, and because he hits more things. Well, not necessarily, I guess, but he's easier to get to go off. So I think that's actually going to make light side really, especially since Mono Jedi is so popular, just really push them into running more mono decks. Because if you're just splashing that smuggler affiliation, like all your Jedi mains are just in so much trouble now. And then with Obi, I don't think Darkseid's going to run mono because of him, but I think when he hits the board, they're going to be like, crap, you know, with their scum affiliation out, having Vader just die because he killed, you know, one of their mains is pretty big. How about you? What do you think?
I think it's really going to be meta dependent, and I don't mean meta as in like the overall North American meta that a lot of people tend to focus on. I mean like very specific to your area. Like, if a lot of people continue to run the typical Sith scum decks that we've seen, which I don't see that changing necessarily. I know it's going to change temporarily. Like, everyone right now is like, I'm going to play scum. Let's try out these scum because, you know, scum have sucked for so long and blah, 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 according to some and stuff like that. So I think it's going to – but I definitely think Obi-Wan – I mean, Obi-Wan's definitely more expensive. He's always been expensive. I mean, at five cost.
Yeah.
But his interrupt works when he dies, when any other Force user you have dies. Of course, if you're playing Jedi, you've got other Force users in your deck, so you can kind of trigger off of that. If you manage to give him his lightsaber, he's now got Protect, so you can trigger it yourself maybe. And you're like, well, they're going after Luke. I don't want Luke to die. I'll put it on Obi-Wan. I'll trigger Obi-Wan's interrupt and, you know, take out their – either some neutral card, like you said, because if nothing else, you're always going to have some neutral cards. But
yeah,
I mean, if they're running Scum as their affiliation because they're doing a Scum Sith deck, you know, they got Vader, Emperor, let's say Mara, and then, I don't know, Slave Trade with Dark Wolverine tends to be a popular one, and Tatooine Crash or something. If they've got Emperor out, Emperor's dead because their affiliation Scums. I mean, that right there would be a huge blow. So I definitely think when you can get his effect or even Snoova's effects to go off, they're going to be very powerful, and they're going to make people reconsider sometimes things.
Yeah.
And one thing I noticed with Between the Shadows was definitely that there was a push towards mono decks, and you know, this is definitely a start of having cards that make your opponent want to build mono decks, but as well, a lot of the Jedi cards in Between the Shadows encourage you to have more Jedi stuff. Like Yoda gives you edge dependent tactics based on how many Jedi objectives you have. There's those
Bogwins.
The creatures.
The Bogwins. Yeah,
they get health depending on how many Jedi objectives you have, and if you have three or more, they get one blaster unit damage and a bunch of other stuff. So there's definitely a push towards mono decks, which I'm honestly okay with, because I think there's way too many mixed decks. Like mixed decks has become the norm, you know.
Yeah.
You take six of this affiliation, four of this one. The one you take four of, you make your affiliation card. There's your deck. You're done.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I'm definitely excited that these cards alone really seem like they will shake the meta up, even without, you know, being, even if they don't become like the best cards, like people are always going to be scared. It's kind of like what the sleuths were like. You know, even if
exactly
you can go into a tournament after they came out, not shoving your deck full of good two drops, you know, it really changed the game, and I think that's good. It really shakes it up.
Yeah, I mean, sleuths are still something you have to consider, even if you don't see them. Like,
yeah,
like there's events I've gone to where you've not seen sleuths, but like the tournament I went to a couple months ago in Moncton, I ran sleuths, and no one was really ready for it. So it's just I won every game with my light side deck. So if you go in not prepared for sleuths, you're going to get rolled by sleuths.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. That's why I've always been throwing Slave Trade in, because, I mean, it's a good set anyways, but it's also, like, one of the best anti-sleuth sets, you know? It's really good.
Yeah. The only problem with Slave Trade, though, is that the Galactic Scum are getting damaged every time you lose a Force Struggle, and with Jedi being as strong as they've been, you're losing a lot of Force Struggles.
That's true. I think having them even for a turn or two, that was totally worth the one cost.
Yeah. Definitely. And, I mean, they're not quite as bad in effect as Hired Hands and Alum the Gamora one, where they just flat out die.
Yeah, that's for sure. But, of course, with the Hired Hands, you just bring them out of the discard pile.
Also true.
Yeah. So, talking about Star Wars cards, what sets do you think
shocking.
Will be, yeah, what sets do you think will be played more now that we have all these new cards? And I think pretty much any Scum card, you could say, but what do you think?
Definitely Lucrative Contracts, of course, because it's the only other set we've got that has Black Sun cards.
Yeah.
Got Corrupt Officials, and the Corrupt Officials I've always been a huge fan of because I just love those guys. Oh, you got a Sluice Scout? You're doing how much damage to my objective? Five. Really? That's unfortunate. It's a Corrupt Official.
It's pretty great.
Well, still unopposed. Well, that's great. Take your one damage.
Yeah.
I still blocked five. Like, whoopee. Yeah, I mean, there's other Scum stuff. Like, there's Any Scum set really now goes up in value because they've got such a big push. I could even see an argument made for Core Boba and the new Boba. You probably wouldn't want to run the Core Boba as your choice, but you know, have the new Boba, give him the Mandalorian armor.
That's pretty awesome, yeah.
Now you're cooking with gas.
Yeah.
Like, go for it.
And get the flamethrower on him too.
Yeah. Then you're definitely cooking with gas.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Lucrative Contracts is because, I mean, that's like an amazing mono scum set, and now mono scum's going to be a lot more prevalent, so it'll fit into a lot of mono scum decks, even if they're not Black Sun themed. Also, I see Zuck is popping up on more decks now, what makes me happy, because I've always liked that card.
Had bad luck with Zuckus. I tried him in my Force Hunters deck for quite a while, and I was never able to get the deck fire very well with Iggy and Zuckus and stuff. But speaking like mono scum, I've always felt like scum has wanted to be mono more than any other faction.
I agree, yeah.
Well, and Jedi too, I think, which could almost be why maybe they picked Jedi and scum for this box, because they were, I mean, thematically it makes sense, because they are the two factions that are kind of in the shadows. The Jedi are, you know, their time is long since faded by this point. You know, this is 20 years after the fall. And then the scum are, of course, in the shadows, because that's where they like to operate. I guess you can make an argument the smugglers are too, but the smugglers are a bit more involved with the...
They get involved with the rebels. Other than Luke, they don't really get involved with the rebels.
Yeah, the Jedi don't tend to. Even Obi-Wan doesn't directly get involved with the rebels, you know, before he sacrifices himself. What other sets? Cor-Yoda.
Yeah, I thought Cor-Yoda.
Because I found when we did that article on CardGameDB for Imperial March for the review we did of Between the Shadows that you and I did.
Yeah.
And
plugging that.
plugging it. And Magistat also, of course, was in it and helped organize it and led that effort. Cole Sanders, Colonel Sanders, and Dr. Mung Mung?
Yeah, I think it's Mung Mung.
I think it's his username?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that's a reference to. Colonel Sanders, of course, is from Spaceballs. I found I mentioned Cor-Yoda quite a bit, because Cor-Yoda is, you know, all about the enhancements. Like, I find Enhancement Jedi is another kind of Jedi archetype. Like, there's Enhancement Jedi, there's Force Lock Jedi, there's, you know, Smuggler's Den Jedi, which is, you know, smugglers with Jedi and stuff like that. But Enhancement Jedi, I find, was encouraged a bit with this, some of these cards. Like, the new Luke definitely wants to have a few enhancements on him to trigger his abilities, you know, to do damage and as well as ready himself and stuff like that. So yeah. Cor-Yoda, I think, goes up a bit.
I was just gonna say, I played with Cor-Yoda. I was playing against John over Skype just a couple days ago, and I had just like a pile of enhancements on him. Sadly, no old Ben Spears, but I had one of them was Obi-Wan's new lightsaber, even giving him shielding. It was just insane. I think I had 5 enhancements on him. Then, you know, he died because I, you know,
Force Lightning.
Yeah. What were you going to say before I rudely interrupted you?
No, it's okay. I'm just... I've lost my train. I was going to say something about Old Ben Spirit. Oh, because it comes with 2 enhancements, and where you might not be playing the Guardians now, which I know is a little bit of heresy for Jedi, because Secret of... is it Secret of Yavin?
Yeah.
Secret of Yavin 4 has been a key objective in any Jedi deck since the core set.
Yeah.
Because it's got the 2 Guardians for Protector and stuff. But now we've got Obi-Wan who can become a Protector. These Jedi that want more enhancements, you can make an argument for playing Old Ben Spirit over Guardians or with Guardians, which is what I used to do back when the game first came out and Smuggler's Den was the big Jedi deck, which was Luke, Obi-Wan, Yoda, Han, and Guardians. When the first Hoth pack came out that had Old Ben Spirit, I took out one of the Guardians and put in an Old Ben Spirit.
I think that was one of the first decks I ran, too, when I got into this game, because I started playing, like, a bit after that pack came out, and that's what someone told me to run, basically. They're like, build this deck, and then I tried Old Ben Spirit, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Old Ben Spirit for quite a while, and I found it's good set to match with Guardians if you take them both as one-ofs, because there's 2 Guardians, or Grandmas, as some people like to call them, in that Secret of Yavin 4 deck, and there's 2 Old Ben Spirit, so you've got a decent chance of seeing at least one or the other. And like, I really like the idea of putting Old Ben Spirit on Obi-Wan, like the new Obi-Wan, if he's a Protector or something.
Yeah.
Just around longer so you can keep triggering his reaction longer and stuff like that.
I just wish that you could save him and trigger his reaction. That'd be awesome, but I guess it doesn't work like that. It's not like Thrones. It would work in Game of Thrones, but not in this game.
Yeah, it's because of the wording of them.
Yeah.
Because Obi-Wan wants is when a unit is destroyed, and Old Ben Spirit is instead of being destroyed.
Yeah.
You save them. And I think they have different timing slightly. I'll have to check on that. I was thinking of that the other day, too, and I was like, there's no way that works. But then I got myself convinced it did, and then I was like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, there's someone, one of the people who was good with rules on CardGamDB had it all. They wrote a big thing about it, why it doesn't work. So it was pretty interesting. I think it was DM Eboy.
DB Meat Boy. Yeah, Matt Brown, probably.
Yeah, he's pretty good with the rules.
Yeah, he's insanely good with the rules.
Yeah. So what are we gonna do next? We're gonna skip the Caesar one, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he is really he is better than Jabba. That's
yeah. Our next topic, for those who are wondering what we're rambling about, is Dan's idea for the next topic was, is Caesar what? I don't know. Scissors just strictly better than Jabba, and we were talking about this before we started recording, and I was like, I have no argument to say it's not.
Yeah, he's just better.
Scissors is better than Jabba, so it's just like, yes, he is. Okay, end of discussion.
Yes. So Trooper decks. I think everybody's excited to try these, and I haven't really tried it much yet, but I know you have, and John has, so what have you found?
I haven't really tried it since Family Connections came out with Between the Shadows, which is what a lot of people got really excited about, because they finally felt like kind of finally pushed Troopers from that like tier 1.5 2 deck to maybe pushing it up into a top tier deck. But during the summer, after regionals, I decided to try out Troopers, you know, just for something different to mix things up, of course. And you know, there wasn't really anything relying on it. I wasn't going to nationals or worlds or anything. And I was running Reinforcements, which comes with the I always want to call them the speeder troopers, the one that have to be committed to the force.
Yeah.
I had Tarkin in there, Maudie, Dark Trooper Project, the first one, the Navy one that makes your units elite, and something else that I can't remember right now. The deck did okay. Like, it definitely, it was a good deck, and it was a deck that every time I played it, I was like, it's almost there, but it could win, like, and I did win against like Jedi decks and stuff like that were piloted by like guys that beat me at our regional and stuff. So it wasn't a bad deck, but it wasn't very consistent. Like the troopers were, of course, very fragile. You know, they tend to have lower health values and stuff like that. And with this new objective, giving them all shielding, hopefully, as long as they, you know, survive to your turn and everything like that, that will definitely help give it a bit of survivability so it can, you know, prevent the light side counterattack. So I don't know. I definitely think Family Connection pushes troopers up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then you can – there's so many other, like, trooper sets now, or sort of trooper sets that you can put in as well. Like, I completely forgot about them, to be honest, for so long now that I forgot Espo Troopers even existed. But zero-cost troopers with shielding? Okay.
Yeah, and then when they die, if you have one of the enhancements out or Taj, you get a deuce, like you get to do damage to the opponent, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's the enhancement that comes in Family Connections. It's not Taj himself. Taj makes it so that your guys bounce back to your hand.
I need to actually read. That's the one set I haven't reviewed yet for Between the Shadows, and it's probably the one set I haven't really touched much from my box. I haven't really read it yet.
That enhancement is called, survey says, Imperial Discipline.
Oh, right.
It's one that's got like the sniper stormtrooper with the awesome art. You can only trigger it 3 times per phase, but I mean, that's still okay.
That's a lot.
And it does damage to an objective anytime they leave play. And if you have Taj out as well, then they're not even getting discarded. They're just going back to your hands. You know, they're bouncing from play to your hands. I mean, they're still leaving play, so you know, you could be leaving yourself open a bit more, but you're getting free damage.
The trooper set I really like, and I've been meaning to build a trooper deck, the one I'm excited to play again, it's the 501st troopers, the ones that are just like a wall of guns. I really like that set a lot, and I think they might be good with shielding too. Stop the tactics, because they just have all black icons. And then the rest of the set's pretty good, because it can give your troopers extra blast damage.
But extra blast damage.
They have that enhancement, you like focus it to give a trooper a blast damage.
Oh, the E-Web.
E-Web heavy blast or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I like that set just because that's the one where you get to see the 501st trooper, because it's got like he's got his helmet off and it's the clone trooper guy.
Yeah.
Clone Wars and stuff, so I thought that was kind of cool.
Jango Fett. Spoilers.
Sort of.
If people haven't seen the sequel, it's spoilers.
I'm sure everyone who's listening has by now seen the prequels.
That's a good point.
And if not, don't watch it.
Yeah, you're doing the right thing if you haven't seen it.
Just skip the prequels, go right to the Star Wars The Clone Wars TV series, then watch Rebels, and then wait for the sequels, which is in less than 11 months now. Not that I'm counting or anything.
Sounds like you are.
I may or may not know exactly how many days it is.
Nice. So what about the new unique fake cards? Those are pretty cool. Which one do you like better, the Scum one or the Jedi one?
Oh, God.
I know my answer. Do you want me to talk while you think about it?
Yes.
I like the Scum one, because I think the Jedi one, it's awesome, an awesome effect, but doesn't really help you win the edge battle, other than it has two icons. But, like, Zizor's, when you take one of their cards, like, you know, they put in a Yoda, you're just like, yep, I know how to, I had a pretty good situation where they put in one card, I put in the Prince's Scheme, and then they passed. I was like, well, either it's a twist or I win this edge battle, so I just passed as well. And, of course, they were just trying to bluff me, and they played Yoda, and I just gotta take that Yoda away from them and win the edge. The Jedi one, I think, is pretty good, but it doesn't do anything for you like at that moment, for the most part, except if you have things that depend on winning the Force struggle, like the Godals. The Godals. That's what I was trying to think of. Because I have a deck that I built just because I thought the name was funny, where it was Inumus Godals, and I think it would work good in that deck, but I think I had to take out Inumus Go to make it work.
Wow. I think that's a bad deck name.
Inumus Godals? I thought it was fantastic.
It's,
I built it just for the name. I was like, I'm proud of this. It's a bad deck, but...
it's just bad punning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Prince's Scheme too, because like you said, you can kind of... It almost acts like a pseudo-twist.
That's what I like. That's why I was like supporting
play
fire.
It, and then, you know, your opponent plays something, and then you're just like, pass. They're just like... Either that's a really good card, or he's twisting me.
Yeah.
Crap, what do I do? And if they do nothing, well, then you just take their one card, and even if it's got one force, or even zero, you still win, because you still got the one from Prince's Scheme, so
yeah.
It really doesn't matter. My problem, I guess you could say, with the Jedi one is there is some things that depend on you actually winning the force struggle, like, during the force phase, and there's stuff that triggers on during the force phase and stuff like that. Like, so you don't necessarily want to skip the force phase sometimes,
yeah.
Unfortunately. I think the best time to use the Jedi's one, what is it called? Jedi's Resolve?
I think so. I think it's on when you're, yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, it comes in the new Yoda. Would be on, like, the opponent's turn.
I agree, yeah.
If you don't think you're going to win the force struggle, even if the bounce is already with you, just to skip it so they can't take it from you. So you start your next turn with it. I don't think I would want to play that on my own turn.
The thing I don't like is you also don't get a damage. It won't damage the Galactic Scum, or you won't get your card back from Slave Trade. It's kind of like you see a lot of Galactic Scum about, and like if you could win the Force struggle in the Force phase anyways, it'd probably be better just to take the Force, because you're gonna, you know, do that damage to that Galactic Scum, and then you're also gonna remove, you know, the focus token off your Force resource and stuff like that if you have one. But you might not, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're definitely right. Like, it's like I said, you know, there's things that you want to be in the force phase to trigger or win and stuff like that. So I don't see it as being as advantageous to the Jedi. And it's not like Jedi even have trouble winning the force phase. Like, let's face it, Jedi haven't lost a force struggle in a while now. Like,
yeah.
Since May the Force With You came out. So I just think it seems kind of...
I'd rather run the May the Force Be With You Yoda, I think, is also why I haven't really had a good experience with the new fake card, because I haven't played with it that much, because he hasn't, that Yoda, version of Yoda hasn't quite made it into many decks of mine so far.
You're not running the 6 Yoda deck? It's totally a thing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot, I've been meaning for my Wednesday game night to build the 6 Yodas, 2 Kyles, and Last Minute Rescue with Redemption. That's going to be my deck.
Oh my God.
Return of the Jedi, bring Yoda back.
Get Yoda for days.
Yeah. That's my genius, you know, Worlds 2015 deck, you know, gonna win.
Of course, the only unit you're gonna have in play is Yoda.
Sometimes Kyle.
Yeah, it's a fun deck by the sounds of it, that's for
when
sure.
You seek Yoda, which one do you pick? You have so many Yodas.
It just depends on whatever's good for the time.
Yeah.
I would take Yogurt from Spaceballs first.
Yogurt.
He's got infinite tactics icons.
Ooh, sounds pretty good.
You get stopped in a store buying stuff, and he just focuses you down.
That's nice. So other than that amazing six Yoda deck, what deck do you think you would bring to your Star Championship if you had one, say, tomorrow on Saturday?
Oh, God. I don't even... That's why I have 9 decks right now.
Because you don't know.
Figure out. I don't know yet. And Darkseid's the one I'm probably having the harder trouble trying to figure out.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have ideas, and I don't really want to give any of them away because friends of mine who I'll be playing and listen to this podcast. Sorry, guys. I want to win.
That's fair.
I've got two store. Speaking of store championships, the ones that I've got coming up, there's one on February 7th that's in St. John, New Brunswick that I was considering going, and I'm still considering, but it's one that I'd have to find other people to go with because it's a 3.5-hour drive just from my place just to get there. Another 3.5 hours back. So you know, that's 7 hours of driving, plus you know gas isn't expensive as it was, but it's not it's definitely not cheap either.
It's not 60 cents like it is here though.
No, ours actually went up 2.8 cents last night, so it's back to 90 something.
Oh man.
Yeah. And then there's another one on February 14th, which I hate and try to get them to change the time and date because it's Valentine's Day.
Oh yeah. I couldn't go to that one.
I'm going to be able to go, but I also already made plans for my wife and I to do something afterwards that night, which is through they're actually doing an event at work because we have a full-service kitchen and stuff like that. So I was talking to the kitchen manager yesterday, so I was like, put me down. Well, the unfortunate thing is the kitchen manager also happens to be my wife's boss, and when they were talking yesterday, my kitchen manager friend might have accidentally let slip that I have plans to do things with my wife, which is why she's not allowed to work on Valentine's Day. So, yeah. Thanks, Michelle. And then we've got another one on February 21st, also down in Halifax at the Boardroom Game Cafe that I usually play. So there's literally one every single week for 3 weeks that I could potentially make it to.
That's pretty awesome.
I really want to go to the one in St. John because it's that store that I never heard of until this year. It's really new. I don't know any of the players. They're like they're not part of any of our maritime community that we communicate with through Facebook. So I'd like to go just to meet these guys and you know get them being part of the rest of the community too.
Oh yeah.
And it's always and I like playing against people I don't normally play against.
It's more interesting.
Not that I like playing against my friends. Don't get me wrong, but it's also nice to be able to shake it up every once in a while.
Yeah.
So yeah, as for what deck. I don't have an answer, and I'll tell you what decks I run after I go to store championships.
That's fair. I'm probably not going to play in a store championship for a while, so I'm fine to... I won't, like, go right over the deck list, but my Darkseid deck, the one I've liked the most so far is... Like, I really like the Mono Scum, but I think because I've been having so much fun with it, I bring the... I think they actually gave this name on the Smugglers End podcast, All Out Control, what is, like, Sith Control with Zekathine, and I think it's just a ton of fun.
Brawl.
Yeah. Okay. What's that? Oh, All Out Brawl, yeah, but they're calling it All Out Control for the deck. Yeah,
right.
And
I didn't hear that.
I think the All Out Brawl objective is just so much fun, and I think actually giving everybody a gun is actually a way better effect for the dark side for the most part. So I've been having a ton of fun with the deck, and it's quite successful, and the thing I like about it the most is it's just like Sith Control, but if you get way behind, you just kill Zekathine and reset the board, and hopefully you get ahead the second time.
That's true.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, Zekathine's almost like a freeholders kind of thing, but in a unit instead. And it's not a bad mix at all with Sith because you've got ways to get rid of him running Sith.
There's like, I mean, you got your 4 Force Chokes, 2 Force Deadly Lightning. Sights, and 2 Force Lightnings. And then plus he's also just an insane blocker because you put him down on your first turn, then they're like, I don't really want to... Like, I can't commit to playing a bunch of units, because if I put down Yoda and the next one put down Luke, he might just block and I'm forced to kill him, you know? Forced to kill Zekathine and I lose Yoda and Luke. It's a pretty interesting card, I think. I didn't love Zekathine at first, I thought it was more like a fun card, but now I think it's actually like, this is actually a really good card. And it's fun. Then for light side, of course, just run Mono Jedi, because, because it's really good.
Jedi are good.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I would have played like probably Freeholder Jedi because I really like that, but I think Snuva is I don't think I would, just because I think I'd be afraid of seeing a lot of Snuva, since everybody in my playgroup loves Scum, so I think there's going to be a lot of Snuva about for the first, especially for, you know, the first bit after Fin the Shadows is out. Because all Canadians love Scum, or at least our group and Matt does.
Yeah. If I was listening to, what's the show called? The Living Force, which is the Flip the Force podcast, and I was mentioned on like the first episode because they were like, "Who's that Canadian guy that always said Scum were really, really good?"
It's you,
Tokenomish.
Yeah, and
they always say it wrong. I'm just like,
yeah, he's joked a couple times about how all Canadians love Scum because he knows I'm often in the chat and I always talk about Scum because I really like all the Scum cards.
Yeah,
a lot.
There's a lot of Scum guys that liked it here, but I was definitely the one that started it. And then he was kind of like, "Matt keeps beating me with Scum. I'm playing Scum."
Yeah, I think it's the most fun Dark Side faction for me, at least.
Yeah, my flipping Scum deck really was a good deck for a while. It's not good now. Like its day has kind of come. Like it needs updating, unfortunately. But it was fun playing aggressive Scum back then because no one expected it. But
I actually dug up that article because I didn't know what flipping Scum was. And actually, oh, really? I had read it when it first came out. I just kind of forgot because I was pretty new to the game at that point. Not new, but I wasn't like super competitive. But
which article? The one that I wrote on CardGameDB, or the one that? Okay, because it was also mentioned in an article on Flip the Force that I think I don't know if it was him or Flip or one of the other guys wrote.
Okay. Oh, I think that was Capturing New Concepts or something. I read that one too.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that. Oh yeah, that's all the topics I wrote. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Or do you want to start wrapping it up?
I think we'll just start wrapping it up without Jonathan here this week. I don't want to make it too long an episode, and we've kind of gone a little overboard on the previous one, so let's try and keep it to about an hour.
Yeah. We're probably around there.
I'd say we're right on the money, actually, which is good. Yay us.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm pretty excited to hopefully have a store championship in February, and I hope you do good in all the ones you play in, maybe two or three of them.
I'm hoping I can win one.
Yeah.
That's all I really care about is winning one.
That's all I care about, too. I want to win one. I don't even want the buy. I just want the plaque.
I want the plaque again.
I don't care about buys because I'd almost rather play than have a buy.
Yeah, the buy I got last year, I was actually kind of bored. And unfortunately, we had an uneven number.
Oh.
So somebody else got the buy, too. Or no, we had, what was it? Anyway, someone else ended up getting a buy because I used my buy.
Yeah.
And I was tempted. I was just like, screw it then. Let's just play. But I was like, no, it counts as a full win with full points. I was like, I'm just going
to
take it.
I think it's hard not to use it. Yeah, I think if I had one, I'd use it. But I don't mind if I don't get one. I just want the plaque because I want to have all the plaques eventually.
I like the plaque, I think, better from last year, to be honest, still.
Yeah, it's really...
I'm actually excited about this year's stuff with just... Obi-Wan's kind of like, you know, removing his cowl.
So much Obi-Wan. I mean, I got the deck box thing in front of me, and then the playmats behind me. It's just a lot of Obi-Wan everywhere.
I like the consistency, though.
It is nice.
The mat, the box,
the plaque.
The card's different art, and the plaque, it's all the same art for the most part. And that's all the Balance of the Force Obi-Wan, I believe, right?
Yeah, it is all Balance of the Force Obi-Wan. And the promo card, some people don't know because not everybody's played a Star Championship yet. It is for sure Balance of the Force Obi-Wan. It's kind of disappointing because you can only have one.
I was really hoping it wasn't going to be because, yeah, exactly that. You can only have the one.
And the art's better fitting for the Between the Shadows Obi-Wan, too, because it's kind of like right before he goes and fights Vader and sacrifices himself.
Right. I've only seen it kind of small, but it's where like he kind of closes his eye and he holds the saber up real close after he sees Luke and basically lets Vader kill him.
I have it pretty much on my desk. he's got his eyes closed, he has the saber up close. And yeah, it's right before he's going to die, is basically what it is.
Okay, that definitely would have been better artwork for the Between the Shadows one, because it makes total sense with his interrupt.
Yeah, it's what it's thematically supposed to be doing, I think.
Yeah. Close my eyes. But I guess they couldn't really have it for that, because it wasn't released yet. So
it was almost released, it was so close.
Not close enough that they could preview it and be like, oh yeah, here's a spoiler from...
Hey, Team Covenant spoiled that card already. They spoiled it a while ago, yeah. Well, anyways, you ready to wrap it up?
I'm ready to wrap it up, sir. Right. I think we're good for this week. We're going to record, I'm hoping, on around February the 6th, which is in about two... Actually, that is 2 weeks from today.
Yes.
So that way it's not been quite as long. It's... just before Jonathan's store championship that he's running at Kessel Run there, and just before I kind of get into my weeks and weeks of store championships, it seems.
Yeah, so maybe we could talk a little bit about, like, prepping for store championships. What are our ideas? How to get ready?
Yeah, that's what I'll be doing for the next couple of weeks, is getting my butt in gear, actually testing some decks, even if I just, you know, end up coming down to my room and playing against myself, which is still a bit of a disaster since I started reorganizing my Star Wars room. I should probably finish that.
Nice. Okay, well, we'll hopefully see you guys in 2 weeks then.
Until then, may the Force be with you.
See ya.